Hi, and welcome to The Exchange. My name is Micah Fries. You know, recently Ed tweeted out his expectations about retirement, and believe it or not, it included a Harley and a pink goatee. So now this is our second week of the new series, and we're really glad that you've joined us today. For those of you who have been around The Exchange for a while, you'll notice that things look a little different. We've added some new voices to the show, we've got some fun new elements. It's kind of exciting. But for those of you who are new to The Exchange, let me try and explain what we do. We try and bring you closer each week to truth, thoughts, and theology from practitioners and pastors and leaders and authors who are provoking us to love and good deeds. And so on this week's show, Ed is going to talk about how to pick up a stripper. And other acts of kindness. It's a new book about loving the least of these in our community through a ministry called Strip Church. Now, Strip Church was started by Erin Stevens and her husband, Pastor Todd Stevens. They've been featured in the press because of this incredibly unique and effective outreach to exotic dancers. I'm telling you, this interview is dynamite. A little later in the program, rapper, pastor, church planner, and most important, Kansas City Royals fan, D.A. Horton, is going to throw down some wisdom on ministering in the urban environment. And as always, we'll feature some really bad church signs. Now, we want to encourage you to join the conversation online. You can use hashtag TheExchange, and there we'd love to receive your thoughts and your feedback on the new show. Before we get into this discussion between Ed and the Strip Church ministry leaders, let's take just a quick moment to think about something that we all know about, but probably rarely think about, and that is parking lots.
Imagine for a moment that you encounter someone for the very first time. Maybe it's a new coworker, a fellow church member, or a couple that's brand new to your neighborhood, and you hit it off. I mean, you really hit it off. You discover that you have common interests, common goals, and very similar backgrounds. Now, it's because of that affinity that your new friends invite you and your spouse over for dinner the following weekend. It'll be fun, they promise, and you have every reason to believe that it really will be. But then the weekend comes and the fun doesn't. At first, the directions that they give you to their home doesn't quite get you to their home. Their address doesn't show up on your GPS, and they fail to tell you that they live in a brand new neighborhood. And when you finally do find your way there, you realize that they live in a gated community, and you have to wait several minutes before they respond to you buzzing on the intercom and allow you in. And when you pull up in their driveway, you find it strange that the porch light is dark, they take a long time to come to the door, and their greeting to you is, at best, half-hearted. You discover that dinner is a hastily cooked frozen pizza, and the conversation is one-sided, focused far more on what they want you to know about themselves than what they want to discover about you. And to top it all off, their house is just messy, their kids are rude, and their stinking dog keeps trying to climb up in your lap. Now, hopefully, that is a fictional scenario that you've never experienced. But chances are that illustration serves as a sad analogy of the typical weekend experience in far too many churches. Every single weekend, you have guests who are checking you out for the very first time. Every single weekend, those guests are judging you not just for the quality of the message or the volume of the music, but on the hospitality that they received when they arrived. So the question for all of us is this: are we prepared for guests and eagerly anticipating their arrival, or are we caught off guard if and when they actually show up?
Nine out of 10 churches in America are either declining or they're growing at a pace that's slower than the community in which they're located. I have a love and a passion for the local church, and some time ago I wrote a little book called I Am a Church Member, and the book is just what it says. What does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? The response to the book has been great, but I am so excited that we now have a study called Connected, which brings together this concept of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and studies it through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. This six-session study is absolutely incredible, and it will open eyes to what it means to equip others, to love others, to be in unity, and ultimately to be a part of the body of Christ. I hope that you will join me for this study on Connected.
Good. So we're here with Todd, Aaron, and Katie, and thanks for coming and joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us. Good
to do. Looking forward to a fascinating conversation today about how to pick up a stripper, which is a weird phrase just to be said. So let's start with that. And I'm going to start with you, Aaron, because this is a ministry out of your church.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about, first of all, the title of the book and how it relates to what you're doing at the church.
Back in October of 2012, I was doing a 21-day fast and really came out of that fast with a heart for lost people, even more so than we had experienced at our church in previous years. And so I called up the general manager of a club here in Nashville, a large one, and told him I just wanted to bring a home-cooked meal to his girls and just love on them and show God's love in a practical way with no strings attached. And he said, can you come next Thursday?
Really?
And I've been going every other week for almost 2 years now. And I go in not with a Bible, not with a gospel track, just pure love for those women. And we talk about their kids, we talk about their homes, their parents. And so when it came time to write the book, which is not only a book about my ministry, but really the ministry of our church, mm-hmm. which has from day one been to reach those far from God, how to pick up a stripper and other acts of kindness.
That's right, subtitle, and other acts of kindness. Other, yep.
It was perfect for our church because we're known in the community for being the one church that loves on the community.
It's fascinating. Let's talk about the church for just a bit, because you started the church 8 years ago. It's grown to over 1,000 people each week, a lot of unchurched people in a community outside of Nashville. So talk to us a little bit about how this fits into the broader vision of engaging people who are far from God.
Sure. Well, what we found, I think on a big scale, but certainly in our culture in the South, is that most everybody has heard of God. They're familiar with the concept of Jesus. They just haven't experienced God's love firsthand. So what we have found is by whether it's meeting a need or doing some other act of kindness where there's not an obvious need, how oftentimes that can connect with somebody at a profound level and bridge that gap and invite them forward to take that next step toward God from wherever they might be. So it's just become a very easy way to meet with lots and lots of people and just bring them a little bit forward.
Fascinating. And Katie, you were a dancer at a club. Is that the right term? I don't know. Is it the term of the club?
Yes.
You're a dancer at a club. And this woman shows up with, and you make this contact. Tell us the story. What happens? And what's your first impression of somebody showing up, a woman showing up at a club?
At first I was a little bit afraid to feel kind of judged around Christian people coming into a
club. So you knew early on that there was some Christian connection?
Yes.
Okay.
The manager kind of explained it to the girls prior, that there's a lady from church here. She just wants to bring dinner. You guys go get some dinner and talk to her. So I was like, okay. And after a couple weeks of talking, I started feeling really close to her. She memorized my kids' names, and she asked me about, you know, what I was doing and how I was doing and my degree and what I wanted out of life, and she really showed she cared a lot about me. So I decided that I would come to church and see just maybe what the whole picture was about, figuring I wouldn't be going regularly just to go once, and ended up falling in love with it.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, so as a dancer, I guess exotic dancer is the term that people often use. So as an exotic dancer, showing up at an evangelical Bible-teaching church, what are the concerns? What are the fears? What's that like?
Judgment.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. And I prejudged myself as my past without knowing that I had a Savior that died to fix exactly what I had done. I felt like that was still all on me. And right after walking into that church, I never felt judged. I didn't feel looked at funny. So I kind of opened up a little bit to maybe I can be who I am and not who I was.
Fascinating. So talk to me a little bit about the strategy. Now they can get more information at NashvilleStripChurch.com.
Right.
And you're the executive director of NashvilleStripChurch.com. And so you show up. Do others go with you? Before the show, I asked if you don't go.
I do not go, and that's a good thing.
And men don't go.
That's right.
Men
we've had some volunteers. We've turned them down.
That's good. For wise choice. So it's all women who are maybe from your church. You tell me. Who how's it work? And talk to me about some of the encounters.
Well, when I first started going, I took our children's pastor lady with us and another friend. But as the girls have started coming out of the industry, Katie, Mary, and Lisa have now all come out.
These are three dancers that have come out.
Three dancers that have come out and come to church.
Mm-hmm.
almost every Sunday. If they're not there, they're sick or out of town. And they go back with me every 2 weeks. And we either take a full dinner, we take cupcakes, but we always take a gift, because in the gift is my card that has my name on it, my personal cell phone number, and email address. And I get calls all night long from girls in the emergency room. I fell off the pole and busted my head open. Can you be here in 30 minutes? Yes, I'll be there. You know, keeping children for girls, you name it, I'm doing it. And just some of the comments I've gotten from some of the girls are, you know, we've never been loved like this before. All the times before that people said they loved us, there was always a string attached.
Sure.
And so Miss Erin, you know, and one lady said to me one night, she said, I'm so tired of Christians telling me how much God loves me when they don't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just told her, I'm here to do nothing but love you. Whether you strip, don't strip, drugs, no drugs, sex, no sex, I love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter to me. I just love them.
It's been fascinating to me, the impact that little gift has had, whether it's just a meal or a cupcake or whatever, that if you think about it, these are girls in a setting where people are literally showering money on them.
Sure.
And yet a simple home-cooked meal stands out as something special, because that's the one thing somebody did for them that had no string attached.
Right.
Who didn't have any agenda or expect anything, just to say you're valuable and God loves you.
When would you identify that you became a believer? Were you a believer who sort of walked away and you're in the industry where you were dancing? Or was that afterwards?
I always identified as a Christian.
Right.
I guess most people in the South would identify as being a Christian.
Yeah. Maybe people watching might not know that, but it's kind of a thing here. So,
I did. I very much would tell you I believed in God. I didn't believe that God would change my life or forgive me.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in having a relationship with God. But my biggest change overall has been going from God being an intangible power to a mighty force that is here to change our lives and to make our lives change for others.
Interesting. Good. So I mean, you ended with our life changed for others. And you mentioned earlier, Erin, that you mentioned three names of girls, you called them, who had come out of dancing. Aren't you bad for business for them? And if so, why would they have you in?
Does that
make sense, the question? I mean,
I developed such a great relationship with the general manager of that club. He had surgery about a year ago and asked me to come to the hospital and stay with him and then take him home after the surgery. That's the kind of relationship we have.
Sure. And he's attended our church as well.
Really? Okay.
He's also attended.
Okay.
And so I just sat him down and I said, you know, I will never take your girls. If they want to come out of this industry, they have to approach me and come to me, and then I'll help them. I mean, we've helped Katie with bills and childcare and gas and groceries and you name it. We love on these girls well. But he said, I'm not afraid. And he said, you know, the sad fact is, for everyone you take, there's 10 more to replace them.
Wow.
And, you know, which does break my heart. But, but I just wanted him to know, my main goal is not to get the girls out. My main goal is to be there to show them that they are valuable to God and valuable to me.
So many really questions come to mind.
That gets at the essence of the difference between that and most forms of outreach I've been trained on and participated in, is an exclusive almost focus on repentance and faith, which is the moment we want. That's what we want to happen. But in the past, I've been trained where that's all I knew how to do. And if you weren't there, then it was just kind of like, well, enjoy damnation for the rest of eternity.
Sure.
I don't have anything else for you.
Sure.
But with Erin, with the gift, you know, Katie said, well, why did you do this? And Erin said, because you're valuable to God and you're valuable to me. And she invited her forward. And then just a couple of months later, she starts dating a guy. And Erin said, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but I want to encourage you to not sleep with this guy as you're dating. And Katie said, you know, God showed up. How could I not trust him in this? It has a promise ring tattooed on her finger so she can't take it off. A couple of months after that, Katie said, I've realized maybe the skirts I'm wearing are a little too short and things like that. I want to be more modest, and I want to take that step. And all that just to say, if on that first night when she said, why did you do this? Why are you at the club? If Erin had said, because you need to quit your job, you need to burn your clothes, and you need to quit sleeping with guys, that would have all been true, but it would also have been wrong because that wasn't her next step.
Right. So we'll be back in just a moment as we continue our conversation about how to pick up a stripper. Still having a hard time saying that phrase, but nonetheless, it is.
Oh,
Welcome back. We're going to have more from Ed, Todd, Aaron, and Katie in a few minutes. But up next, D.A. Horton is going to offer three T's of urban ministry.
Three things that I think as a church that we're doing a phenomenal job in stewarding, specifically in the urban core, is the reality of truth, transparency, and transformation. When I say the truth, I'm talking about the revival of gospel-centered truth now being injected through the lips and the lifestyles of saints who are living in the urban context, both in the area that is gentrified and the area that's now becoming ghettofied out in the suburbs. And when you look at those realities, I think that through our conversations, we're expressing the transparency of our hearts, meaning that we're pulling back the veil to show the work that God the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, present tense. I think in the times past, what we did is we would express our struggles with sin before we were saved, and then our struggles, if you will, as being babes in Christ. But rarely would you hear, specifically from the pulpits, the reality of pastors and leaders unpacking present tense struggles with the reality of sin and their flesh. But I think that now pastors are saying, hey, as my homie Dahati Lewis says, authenticity is the apologetic of our day. The more transparent, the more honest we are, again, tempered with, you know, tactful language, the reality of God's work is now drawing individuals to say, man, if God is still working on you, then I know he can work on me. And I think those two, the truth and transparency, when they're leveraged, then allows the Holy Spirit to now have an environment that's conducive for his transformation. The reality of supernatural transformation is just that. It's supernatural. That means in times past, when we try to manufacture discipleship, make it too programmatic, or just try to basically make clones of ourselves, I think the Holy Spirit was kind of leveraged out in some of those conversations. But now what I'm seeing is that when that truth and transparency mixed, God the Holy Spirit now begins to massage our hearts, making us more malleable in the hands of God so that we can be the clay molded by the potter for his personal glory.
Well, let's talk, because I mean, my assumption is you went into dancing because, I mean, for I'm sure multiple reasons, but I mean, it's a lucrative industry to be in. You make good money at that, I'm guessing. So how is that? I mean, at some point you have to consider, can I live, you know, outside of, you know, getting this income from dancing? So is that where the church sort of comes in? Either one of you kind of weigh
yes,
in on that.
It definitely did come in. It was terrifying going from that kind of money to going to $12 an hour. Yeah. But that was one of those leaps of faith that...
Can I ask, I mean, what kind of money are we talking about?
Everybody's different. You can work however many days you want to a week. I would say I average 15 to 2,000 a week.
Wow. Okay. So a lot. I mean, that's a lot of money to $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm. And so you're walking took behind. An initial step of faith, just walking away without even having a job lined up.
Right.
She did that before we even knew it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was her very first step of faith as a single mom of two, cutting off all income.
And so you guys would then help with job finding job, getting. I know you've been doing some school, and now you're involved in this ministry. So that's part of the church. Sees that part of the church's role to help with that, because we usually think of spiritual things. You're talking temporal things.
Right. We've got an HR executive that attends the church, and she is phenomenal at helping people connect with jobs, whether maybe something in their past or perhaps not, but getting them on the track to where they want to be, you know, as far as an occupation.
Yeah. At what point when you started coming to the church, did you make the decisions to move away from some of the from some of the dancing things, that sort? And did you wonder, you know, I mean, I sort of, in a typical church, I sort of wonder, is the church lady going to show up early on and say, you know, So at what point and what are the steps that sort of walked away from that?
There wasn't steps. There was a leap.
Was there? Okay.
Like a hurdle. Mm-hmm. Really giant. Should have been a bridge to this one.
Yeah.
The first time I came to church, it was baptism day, and I just felt absolutely overwhelmed that this is where I needed to be, and I needed a huge change, and I didn't know why, and I didn't even fully have faith in my relationship with God at that point. It was the first day I went to church. But
so on the first day you went to church, you actually went to a spontaneous baptism service.
I had worked. It was that was the service.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. I got you. Right,
the service was baptisms that day. So the night before, I had worked and gotten off at 5 a.m. and come into church at, I forget, 9 or 11. And that Thursday, she was going to go back to the club. And she emailed me and said, hey, I'm going to be there Thursday. Are you going to be there? I was like, nope.
That was it.
I'm not going to be there anymore. And she was like, what?
Wow.
Okay, let's find you a job.
Wow. Yeah, I guess you had to quick. So, and is that normal, Aaron, with others as well? Because you mentioned other dancers.
Yes,
is that there's
yes.
a sudden break?
Yes, yes. And one girl, Lisa, that came out said, the reason I finally quit the club is because you never quit coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we've helped her. She just had a baby 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to help take care of the baby for her. The other third girl is actually keeping children of current dancers as a ministry to them, and they're coming to church with her. She has brought two current dancers to church with her. And of course, we welcome them with open arms, even though they're still stripping. We're, you know, just come on in. We love you guys.
We've been seeing really awesome changes in them too, little by little.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the objection. The objection is going, well, there'd be more than one, I'm sure. You know, even the title, How to Pick Up a Stripper, is going to get some people riled up. And
sure.
We know marketing people are, you know, they love to get people to pay attention. But the objections would be, for example, well, you're supporting the industry. You're going to the industry. You're being friends, for example, with the owner who's really victimizing a lot of women. You know, you're supporting an industry that undermines whatever. So, I mean, how do you, I mean, I'm sure you've answered the question. So how do you answer the question?
Well, I take people usually, if it's coming from within the church, which usually it would be, I take them to Jesus being accused of the same thing, hanging out with the wrong people, being friends with the wrong people. And it was in that context that he told the story about the shepherd who left the 99 and went after the one until he found it. And so we want to be involved in ministries and outreach where we're not okay with leaving anybody behind.
Yeah, but let me, I'm a push because
sure.
People will want me to. Mm-hmm. Jesus probably wouldn't have gone to the club to do that, though.
He probably wouldn't himself, but I think he would have had somebody go.
Okay,
he,
so
he
send somebody there, a woman.
Yeah,
in that case.
I mean, I would compare it to a tax collector.
Okay.
You know that he's going to the tax collector's house. That mm-hmm. was a taboo place to be,
yeah.
Not from a temptation mm-hmm. standpoint,
no
but
question.
Certainly from
yeah.
a social and cultural standpoint. And so I see him doing very much the same thing there, of going and befriending the people before they had changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what the Pharisees didn't like about it, was that he wasn't telling them right off the bat. At first it was just come follow me.
Yeah.
Now later it's you deny self, take up your cross
sure.
if you're going to keep following.
Sure. And that's where you talk about that next step. You're looking for discipleship and growth.
That's
and
right.
so it's not just simply, you know, come as you are and stay
yeah.
as you are. It's come as you are
yeah,
and
that's
grow
right.
and
even at the first, it's not that everything is okay. Mm-hmm. There's always a next step. And so are you going to take it or are you not going to take it?
That's good. That's good. Yeah, because I don't help me understand. So people enter into dancing. What backgrounds? All different kinds of backgrounds? How does a person end up there?
A lot of it is being a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the women I worked with, I went in because I was a single mom,
right.
and after being divorced, I had no way to support us. A lot of girls are putting themselves through school.
Really?
There's a few girls that are career, but for the most part, it's mm-hmm. it's a means to an end.
Right.
It's not a career choice for most women.
So you sort of you're planning to do this for a short term for some reason,
mm-hmm.
but then as a single mom, how do you get out of that? I mean, other than this sort of
I honestly
ministry.
Would have probably not gotten
really?
Out anytime soon because I finished my degree. After I finished my degree, I still haven't gotten anything back from that. It's not an instant change. I think the only way to do it is through God.
Mm, fascinating. How did you come up with this idea? Where did this come from?
Well, as far as the ministry, it came out of, you know, Aaron's fast and just a burden for
mm-hmm.
the lost and really a specific calling to reach out in the strip clubs. And so our question was, okay, so what does that look like?
Right.
How do we do that? And we didn't know what the needs were, but we said, everybody likes to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So let's call and see if we can take a meal down there, and just were shocked almost that they were welcomed with open arms.
Interesting. And I guess I'm surprised as well. I would think there would be some resistance, particularly when some girls have left. As you indicated earlier, you've kind of re-engaged now. You're on the other side of this now. You're sort of ministering from the church to the clubs. What's that like?
It's really cool. It's a lot of girls that I used to work with mm-hmm. that I still know.
So they know you. They would see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. I mean, we've gone in together for 2 years. Well, a year and a half for me now. And gotten to know a lot of the girls personally that were there after I left, but the girls that were there before I left too. Some of them call me for help when they need help mm-hmm. with things, with transition in their lives, and they know that we're part of a ministry that's there to help them.
Well, and the two dancers that are still dancing that are coming to our church, mm-hmm. one talked to me on Sunday and said, "We know that your church can help us,
right.
and we need food.
Yeah.
And we need help with some place to stay." And that when the Lord asked me or told me to go feed the strippers, I went to Todd and I said, "This is what my calling is." And he didn't say, "We need to have a committee meeting, we need to vote on this." He said, "Go."
Yeah.
Because that's the type of church we are.
Yeah.
That this type of outreach was fit in perfect with our vision.
And I want to talk about the church mission ministry focus. But one more question before we go from there, because both of you mentioned on several occasions, and I want to come back to that. If you want to do this, this is more than just a go be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of structure do you set up in a church that wants to do this? Are you funding these things through the budget of the church? Are you personally engaged? How does that all work?
I'm actually
I am funded by the church for things like food that I take down there. I'm 100% dependent on donations for the gifts.
Right.
And
the gifts are like the Mary Kay pack or food you might bring down or things
like
that.
And a lot of women's ministries and other churches in the area have gotten together and made me goodie bags,
which
is great.
Yeah.
That's their way of helping, because I've had a lot of people want to go with me, and my team is just made up of the girls that have come out.
I think that's why it's so effective, too. I think it comes back to loving your enemies, whether enemies aren't necessarily people we hate, but just that we have nothing at all in common with, and that's not natural. It's a supernatural love, and it causes heads to turn, and it makes it stand out.
It does.
So I think that's part of what makes it so effective, is that people realize that this is not where she would normally be. This is not who she would normally hang out with, and so they take a second glance.
No, I think there's something to the stunning nature of pastor's wife goes to a club, serves in the name of Jesus. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show. I think it's a fascinating, ministry opportunity, but also kind of a display of what the kingdom of God looks like. The kingdom of God breaks into the places where it might not be expected, and uses us as ambassadors for something.
Well, and I can say that out of the fast, I also just had the feeling and knowing that really the Muslim, the homosexual, the porn star, the stripper, they're not the church's enemy. They're the mission field. Mm-hmm. They're who we're called to love, and that has a lot of times been misconstrued. And so I really thought, you know what, strippers are not our enemy. Let's love them. Let's love them as best we can, and just let God do the rest.
I imagine that felt a lot of anger and hate from Christians for a long time for maybe what you did and where you were. I mean, what was your perception of how Christians perceived you?
Hatred.
Okay.
I did feel judgment. I did feel a little closed off.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that anymore.
Yeah.
I think my church family now reaches out to me just like anybody else, and trusts me and doesn't look at me any differently.
Yeah. We're thankful for what the Lord's done in your life, and we're thankful how the Lord has used the two of you and the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, the church friendship community, I get it, friendshipcommunitychurch.org and NashvilleStripChurch.com. So thanks for being with us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for watching this week. We hope you have learned, grown, and been inspired to become more strategic, missional, and most of all, more like Jesus because of our show today. Next week, Ed's going to be joined by a church planting hero, a legend, really. He's a West Coast pastor. He's an author, incredible guy. Larry Osborne is going to be with us. As always, wearing the Rick Warren starter kit. Now, before we go, remember, you can always watch past episodes or you can engage online at edstetzer.com. When you're there, you can find today's full-length interview with the Strip Church ministry leaders, as well as links and resources that were mentioned in today's episode. Until then, here are this week's bad church signs, found, photographed, as always, sent in by you.